Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 365, stanzas 1 through 4. From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. 1 through 4 of 365. Scripture reading for this morning, our, can be found in the book of Proverbs, in the 30th chapter, beginning with verse 18 through verse 33. Proverbs 30 and verses 18 through 33. But first, we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Proverbs 30, verse 18. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not: the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth, and saith, I have done no wickedness. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear: for a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat, for an odious woman when she is married, and an handmaid that is heir to her mistress, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in kings' palaces. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, and an he-goat also, and a king, against whom there is no rising up. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. Nell Auerkirk in her mourning, and also Mrs. Harry DePuter, who had surgery in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, and most high God of heaven and of earth, it behooves us to lay in the dust of self-abasement before thee, for our iniquity and our sin. But we do not do so from our side, because we are so blind to it, and that continually also in the life of thy children. Oh, then we need from thee everything, from the beginning to the end, also in this morning hour, to receive a right place as we attempt to draw nigh to thee. And then we need, O Lord, that thou would show to us what our sin is. Else we lift ourselves up in sinful pride and arrogance against thee, our Maker. O, that thou would humble us, that thou would show to us who and what we truly are in thy holy sight, that thy word may become quick and powerful, that we may receive a new life, that may hunger and that may thirst for reconciliation with thee, that we may need, that our sin may be blotted out in thy holy sight, or that we may desire that blessed communion with our Maker, that we have been created in, and that we have lost in our deep fall, have no desire for with our wicked and wretched nature. All we need, as thou dost testify, to be born again. And this we ask of thee, Lord, in this morning hour, when we have come up unto thy house of prayer. Oh, that thou may grant the power of thy Spirit in our midst in a great measure. For we go each and every one of us to our long home, and we are each one of us of ourselves so careless, about the need of our soul, as we are so meticulous about all the things that are in this life, and we go forward preparing for all that is here below, and it all shall pass away, and it all shall burn, and then we shall have nothing left, and when we have not thee for our portion. O Lord, we ask of thee on this thy holy day, that thou would stop us upon our way, and that thou would open our poor blind eyes, that we may see one word, Lord, from thy holy book, by the power of thy Holy Spirit to enter into our hearts. O, one word that we may read, one word that we may hear, one word that we may sing together. Oh, could it be that one word may penetrate into our hard hearts by nature, and that we may receive life in our soul, a life that hungers and that thirsts, a life that cries out after thee, a life that mourns for sin. Oh, teach thou us from above. For if we receive only the instruction of the world, then we shall eternally perish. But if we shall enter into the school of thy Holy Spirit, then all the things of this world, the providences of thee, they shall all work together for good to them that love thee, them that are called according to thy purpose. And there is not one of us that deserves it, thou knowest. For we have all turned aside. But Lord, from thy side thou art able still to do it. For the sake of thy only begotten Son. O Lord, what wilt thou do unto thy great name? When we may be also in the midst of this world. O, when we may still cleave unto thy truth in an outward way. Oh, shall the world yet mock on that great day of days, and that we go lost even as they? Oh, Lord, wilt thou glorify thyself, and wilt thou glorify thy truth in the hearts of many, that there may come a great separation, a separation of the heart from all this world. And then there shall also be a separation seen in our life. And then we shall not be able to go along anymore. Oh, then it shall grieve our hearts, and that we walk so far away from thee, and we shall desire and long and seek that it would be so different. And then we shall seek that our sin may be forgiven, but then we shall also seek that our sin may be put away, and that we would live a holy life before thee. O Lord, take reasons out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy. And thou knowest thy children where they are. O, thou knowest the warfare in which they are brought. It is a church militant. Thou knowest the struggles. Thou knowest all of the temptations. Thou knowest the three-headed enemy. Thou knowest the prince of darkness. Thou knowest what lives in their own flesh. Thou knowest all the impossibilities, everything that cometh against it. Oh, we beseech thee in this morning hour that thou could give unto thy children a little token of thy nearness, of thy presence. Oh, show to them that thou knowest where that they are. Oh, could it please thee also to deliver those that are in bondage. Lord, thou knowest, and their feet, they are in shackles. Oh, they are not able to go as they desire. Oh, their way that is shut up on every side, and it comes further and further for them into death. Oh, Lord, we ask of thee, open their eyes in this morning hour for thy only begotten Son. Oh, that he may receive the preeminence, that he may be glorified, that the work of thy Spirit
and may glorify the Son, and that he may bring back again unto the Father, and that the angels in heaven also may rejoice, and that there may be a little light in all of the darkness. Look on all thy children, lead them from step unto step, unto Zion. Remember all the afflicted, all the old aged. Oh, look on them in the many fears of their hearts, as the truth is known in their mind, and as many must say, that it is not known yet in my soul. Oh, we ask of thee, Lord, when time does wane away, oh, like an ever-rolling stream, bearing away all its sons, oh, that thou may give, even in this time of life, a new birth. What a wonder, when also the old hands may be folded, and the old knees may be bent. Oh, that the heart may go out unto thee, and that the lips may glorify thee. Remember young and old together, parents, children, the youth also many, which are away in this day. Bring them safely back again, and work mightily among them. Look on her that mourns, has stood by the open grave of her own son. O Lord, be on her right and on her left, in all the needs and cares of her life, in the needs and the cares of her soul. Deliver her, Lord. Supply for her day by day. Look on her that has received surgery, and wilt thou give a thankful heart, that thou hast made all things well, and that thou may further heal. And Lord, be with all that are distressed, those that are in hospitals, young and old. Oh, look on them in the great needs that there are. Oh, Lord, we ask of thee to supply for them, those that hope to be united in holy matrimony. Look on them also. And wilt thou give thy blessing? Remember us all together in this morning. Help us, Lord. Oh, we may stand here once again. We may acknowledge thee, therefore, and that thou givest to us a little strength. Oh, we ask of thee, when thou hast sent us unto this work, when thou hast sent us unto this flock, that thou would increase our strength, that we may be able again to take up our shepherd's task, and that we may be able again to lead our flock, and could it please thee to use us as a little instrument, yet in thy holy fingers, for the conversion of many, young and old together. May it be also for the instruction of thy children. Lord, we are so ignorant. We do not know how to do this work. Lord, we ask of thee then, that thou may also give us the necessary gifts. Oh, may it be but a single talent in this morning, and that we may be able to speak to the heart of Jerusalem, and that thy name may be glorified, and that man may come in the background, and that all things may be to the salvation and the upbuilding of thy church, and to the honor and to the glory of thy thrice holy name. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 240, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy.
answer me. And what follows in 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 240. congregation, David has written, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Who can fathom the greatness of the creation, and therefore also the greatness of the Creator? But the glory of God that is as much to be seen in the things that are small as they are to be seen in the things that are great. There is as much infinity to be seen in an atom as there is in the stars." And we read here that Solomon writes, "There be four things which are little upon earth, but they are exceeding wise." Man, he is a very proud creature. He was the crown of God's creation, but he has fallen so very deeply. And yet he retains so much pride. How is it possible? Have we ever learned a lesson, parents, from our children? And that is a very humbling thing. And we can read of Pharaoh that he has received the advice of Joseph, who was but a slave. We read of Solomon. He was the wisest man, and he has stooped that he may receive instruction from the smallest creatures. That was the wisdom of God that was in him. There be four things which are little upon earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Are we willing, congregation, to stoop and to look, boys and girls, at an ant and to receive a little instruction? She is preparing. She's preparing for the winter this summer. Or will we receive a little instruction? The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rock. Or are we willing to receive a little instruction from the conies when they are seeking a shelter in the rocks? The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. Will we receive a little instruction from those locusts when they do band together, because they cannot go alone? Do you need one another also, Church of God? But now in this morning, we ask the Lord to humble us sufficiently that we may receive a little instruction from the spider. Our text that is found in Proverbs 30, in the 28th verse. Proverbs 30, verse 28. "The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces." So far the words of our text. The little spider's wisdom. First, where she resides. And second, how she comes there. The little spider's wisdom, where she resides, in kings' palaces. And second, how she comes there. And the spider taketh hold with her hands. Congregation, the spider that is to us a very repulsive creature. We read of the spider several times in God's word. Isaiah speaks about the wicked, that they are weaving a spider's web, speaking about their intricate planning of their wickedness. Job writes about the hypocrite's hope. He says that is as the spider's web. With one stroke of the hand and the hypocrite's hope that must perish. And then here Solomon, he is speaking also about the spider, and Solomon is drawing for us a great contrast. He says, the spider is in king's palaces. Most spiders are filled with venom. That is the way that they kill their prey. And therefore that spider, he is loathsome to us. And in his sticky web, there are all kinds of filthy flies and insects. And for that reason, they are found most commonly in unclean places, in old shacks, in old barns. But boys and girls, a few weeks ago, then we also saw a spider. Where? We saw a spider here. He was crawling right here along the pulpit. Spider. You say, well, then the janitor has not done a very good job. No. No, that is not so. Because what do we read in our text? We read spiders. They are in king's palaces. A king's palace, that is a place that is very clean. Because he has many men servants and many maid servants, and every day they are cleaning that palace. And yet what does Solomon say? He says, despite this, even in that place that we would expect that is the cleanest place in all the world, or even in such a place, that spider is found. That is, despite all the efforts, the many efforts that are used to keep that spider out, still that spider is coming there. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Congregation, a great contrast. Do you now never feel such a great contrast? Are there now those of you who fear, who say, I shall never be able to enter in unto the kingdom of God? And why not? Oh, does the Lord show to you something of that great contrast? Does the Lord show to you something of the evil that is living within your heart? That you say, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That you say, it is not only that I have sinned, but it is that sin that is dwelling within my heart, from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Does the Lord show to you something of your nature? Oh, that you cannot even think but that which is evil. And are you not able to do anything about it? Through all your efforts, or do you also have to say, as we read it in the Word of God, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do? Oh, then how is it possible that such a one would enter into that kingdom of God? And yet, what do we read? We read the spider is in kings' palaces. Or you say the Lord is of purer eyes than to behold evil, and he cannot look upon iniquity. Oh, even the heavens, they are not clean in his sight. How shall I ever enter? And yet, the spider is in king's palaces. There is congregation, as it were, a warfare to keep that people out. That is the experience of their life. That is a warfare, it seems, of heaven and of hell together. Does the law come against you? That the law says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed. And yet, the spider is in king's palaces. You say the justice of God. Oh, doth God pervert judgment? Does the Almighty pervert justice? Is God able to let a sinful man go free? Can God deny himself? And yet, the spider is in king's palaces. You say the Lord is faithful. The Lord has a word. He has spoken. He has said that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The Lord, he is faithful to his word. He is not a man that he can lie. He is not the son of man that he would repent. Oh, hath he said it and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? And yet, the spider is in king's palaces. Oh, is the law against you? Is the justice of the Lord against you? Is the righteousness of the Lord against you? Is the faithfulness of the Lord against you to prevent you from entering into that kingdom of God? Or is heaven against you? Is hell against you? Is Satan against you? To come as a roaring lion, as an angel of light, both to tempt, to deceive, to persecute, that he may hinder you from entering into that kingdom of God. Oh, does Satan say to you that you have sinned 100 years, that you have sinned too much, that you have sinned too long? Then still we read the spider is in king's palaces. You say the world that is living in my heart. Oh, I cannot rid the world out of my heart. And I read in James that James says, know ye not that the friendship of the world, that is enmity with God, whosoever therefore is a friend of the world, he is the enemy of God. Then how is it possible that I shall enter into that kingdom? And yet, the spider is in king's palaces. You say, my flesh, or all that is living within my heart, that you do not know, because it does not yet break out forth from me, everything that is still burning within, because within my heart, Oh, there is idolatry. There is adultery. There is thievery. There is covetousness. But I can read it in the Word of God, and that it says, be not deceived. Know ye not that the fornicators and the adulterers and the thieves and the covetous, they shall not enter into the kingdom of God. And yet, the spider is in kings' palaces. Or why? Why does it then testify in the Word of God that the spider is in kings' palaces? Is there not a cause? The Pharisees murmured. They murmured against the Lord Jesus because he sat and ate with publicans and sinners. They could not agree with it. But is not this exactly the great mystery? And that afflicted and poor people need to be instructed in their life? Indeed, he says, the spider is in king's palaces. Oh, that filthy little creature. Despite everything that is coming against her to keep her out. How does she come there? That is our second thought. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Her hands. What is the hand by which the kingdom of heaven is received? That is the hand of faith. The hand of faith. When is that hand of faith given? Say, when they are assured and when they are able to grasp the greatest things? No. No, when is that hand of faith given? The hand of faith is given in the new birth. In that new birth. And by that hand of faith, that church is receiving the spiritual blessings. There is, congregation, no apostasy of the saints. Paul says, kept. Kept by the power of God. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What does it mean, kept? That means, in the first place, preserved. Preserved. That means, from the side of God, that work that he has begun, he shall, by his grace, fully do. Preserved. But what is preservation now from the side of man? That is perseverance. Perseverance. That is a mark of distinction between temporary faith that does not persevere and true saving faith which perseveres unto the end. The spider, she perseveres. The spider perseveres through everything that is coming against her. Destroy her web, and she builds that web again. You cannot get rid of the spider by destroying her web. No, you must kill the spider. Oh, that spider perseveres. Why? Why, children, does that spider build her web again? That's for her life. Because no web, no food. Then she dies. Do you understand it? True faith cannot be destroyed. Through faith, given in that new birth that will go to the end. It can come very low. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? But it cannot be destroyed. It perseveres through every trial, through every disappointment. It holds on. It cleaves through everything that is coming against it. Know that faith does not glory in itself. That is the way of modern Christendom. And then the modern Christendom is cleaving to faith. Cleaving to faith. But what does James say? James says, what does it profit a man if a man says he has faith, but he has not works? Shall faith save him? No. Faith itself does not save him. What is it that saves? Oh, faith is a hand. And that hand receives. And it is now the receiving of the object that is saving to the soul. If we have only a hand and we do not now receive that object, that right object, because we all believe something, but if we do not now receive that right object, we cannot be saved. The spider taketh hold with her hands. And now what is one thing? Where does it begin? With that faith. In that new birth, what is now that faith taking hold of with her hands? Well, children, I think your mother, your father has one time maybe read to you the Pilgrim's Progress. And then that pilgrim had a book in his hand, a little book. Do you know what he says? When he says to his wife and he says to his children that he has a burden upon his heart, he says, my wife, my children, he says, I am certainly informed. I am certainly informed. What is Bunyan saying? What is now belonging to that new life? What is faith now taking hold of immediately upon that new birth? It takes hold of the truth of that word of God. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and that soul begins to cleave unto the word of God. It believes, congregation, it believes every word of that word of God to be the absolute truth. Does it understand it all? Does it comprehend all of that word? Oh, no, it does not. There are many dark things, many things it does not understand. The eunuch also did not understand so many things. Understandest thou what thou readest? We heard it. How can I, except some man should guide me? And yet, he's reading. He's reading. Why? Because he believes that this is the truth. Oh, wind and tide that will come against this. The devil will come against this. The devil will say to that people, he will say by times, throw it away. Throw it away. Or it is all a fable. Go now to be as the heathen. Go now to be as the atheist, because it is not true. And yet they cannot. And why not? They cannot understand it. But there is something in it. There is something in it. that is shining. Do you see yonder shining light? Oh, I think I do. I think I do. And therefore, faith that is cleaving to the truth of those holy scriptures. And that is now so important. And why? Because that object of faith that saves the soul, that is revealed here in the scriptures. And so it is so important that that soul is given to take hold of those scriptures. And therefore, the Spirit, He is bringing the sinner to the Word, or He is bringing the Word unto the sinner. And then the Lord, He is working through that Word. And what is now the Spirit doing? What is that spider? Oh, what does that spider take now? Hold with her hands. How does it go in the life of that sinner? Well, young people, if you will go here and there in the world, and you will listen, and then men will speak about Christ, and then you will soon hear about the promises, and then they will give you advice. They will say, yes, you have to read the Word. And what do you have to do? You have to take hold of it. You have to take hold of it. You have to take hold of the promises that are in the Word of God, because those promises, they are for you. That is what they say. Ask God's people how that goes in their life, whether it goes in such a way, and then they will tell you something. They will tell you what the Lord Jesus Himself has said. A man can receive nothing except that it be given unto him from above. Oh, to take hold of those promises which that people see, they are the promises that belong unto that church of God. And for them now, who are by the power of the Spirit shown, that they lay on the outside of their people, no, they are not able to take so hold of those promises. True faith is always on good grounds, on good grounds. And those good grounds, they are the revealed Word of God. And the Lord does not reveal to us in His Word that the promises of God, that they are for everyone. How does it go then? The spider taketh hold with her hands. And what is it now that spider, she is taking hold of? And when she takes hold of that Word, and when she is searching, and when she is coming to that house of God, and she is listening, and then there is something that faith takes hold of. What is it? Oh, it is the truth. It is the truth about herself, as she is given to see herself, that is without hope and without God in the world. That is it. And when she reads this, when she hears this out of the Word of God, oh, then her conscience says, yes, that is me. That is me, without hope and without God in the world. Oh, when it says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that doeth good. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become filthy. Oh, then the soul takes hold of this. by a true and living faith that is convinced that she is lost, lost, lost. The spider taketh hold with her hands. She believes it. She believes it with all her heart, because it is the truth. It is the reality. She knows no different. She has experienced no different in her heart. In congregation, we cannot emphasize this enough, especially in our days. Oh, if our soul has never taken hold of this, then there is no beginning. Then there is no beginning. Let us not deceive ourselves. Is there more for the soul to take hold of? Oh, yes, there is more. There is much more. And that most essential act and object of faith that is still to come. But without this, there is no meaning. And then it is possible to think that we have taken hold of it. We do that with our mind. But when it is put to the test, then it shows otherwise. There was a woman one time, she said to a minister, she says, "Minister, I am so sinful." And that minister said, "I know. I've heard that." "What?" Then she became angry. Oh, what happened when the Lord Jesus put that Syrophoenician woman to the test? And she says, he says, "You are a dog." And what did she say? Oh, she did not become angry. She said, "Lord, that is true. Lord, that is true. I am a dog." Oh, she had taken hold of the congregation, and the spider. The spider taketh hold with her hands. And what else? Not only that she is without God in this world, but she takes hold of something else. She takes hold of the love of God, of the love of God. Why? Because she experiences the love of God within her heart. What does she say then? She says, "Jesus loves me, this I know." Is that so? Oh no. Oh no. Does she say, "I love the Lord"? Oh yes, sometimes she does. Oh yes. But then she looks at her life, and everything is in contradiction. And then she says, "Is that so? And you love the Lord? And that is how you live? And that is how you think? You do not love the Lord." And yet, oh, she experiences the love of God in her heart. And what happens with that love? By faith, that love is drawing her. Even the law condemns her. That law pushes her away. And that love that draws. So she is like a dog that is being beaten. And that dog, he is crawling closer and closer unto the feet of his master. Try to push that people away. Try to tell that people, "Go back to Moab, because in Israel there is nothing for you there. If I should live long enough that I may have a husband again, if I might have a children, you cannot wait until they are grown. There is nothing. Go back to Moab. Go back into the world. Oh, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee." Oh, that spider, as she taketh hold with her hands. What does she take hold of? She takes hold of the commandments of the Lord. "Oh, how love I thy law." the statutes of the Lord are right. Congregation, what do they think to do with the commandments of the Lord? When she takes hold of the commandments of the Lord out of the love of her heart, what is she going to do with those commandments? Oh, she is going to make it right with God again. She is going to do it better. Oh, she sees something so clear. And what is that? It is my transgression that has made that awful gulf between God and my soul. It is my sin. And now I am sorry for my sin. And now I am going to do it better. And what now is the desire of her heart? That is reconciliation. Reconciliation. Holy desire, noble end, reconciliation with God. Do you know this desire? Given in that first day, in that new birth. Oh, could it only be right again between God and my soul. Well, what is her great mistake? Her great mistake is that she takes hold of the law. She takes hold of the commandments of the Lord in order to make this reconciliation. You know what she is going to do? She is going to try to weave a holy web. A holy web. And now that holiness that is pleasing in the sight of the Lord, congregation. You read of the rich young ruler? All these things have I kept from my youth up. Outwardly, he was a good man. He has tried very hard. And for this sake, the Lord says, we read of the Lord that he loved him. Oh, because the Lord loved. The keeping of his commandments always. Ever see a spider? Spider's web, boys and girls? All the people, they're going to make it perfect. It is never perfect. How beautiful that can be. And then that spider is done. And you know what she does? She goes and she sits in the middle of that web. Oh, that ugly and that loathsome and that venomous spider. And now that is what that people need to learn. That they remain with a beautiful web. A people that are evil, that are full of venom, and that are full of sin. Oh, how many webs, such webs, does the Lord not need to destroy in their life? It is a life, congregation, of disappointments for that people. Oh, they try over and over and over again. And that web that is broken over and over and over again. But there she is again. The spider. Take it hold with her hands. And you would think that she had given up long ago. But what do their people say? No, Lord. Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Why do they do that? Why do they stay on so long? Well, because it's the only way they know. They don't know any other way. Is there another way written in the Bible? From the beginning to the end. From Genesis to Revelation, there's another way. Another way. But they don't see it. Do you see on their wicked gate? No. No. Why do they stay on so long? Why do they build another web? Because it is the only way they know. And because, congregation, they are alive. Because they are alive. And they don't want to die. They do not want to lose their life. And therefore, they are building another web again. Oh, Joseph, brothers came there. And Joseph does not reveal himself. He shows himself to be angry with his brothers. Think they never come back. But they were back again. Why? Because they were alive. They were hungry. And so they come back again. Oh, that spider. The spider taketh hold with her hands. There is nothing. There is nothing that is able to stop it, because it is the work of God. And they shall end up in the palace of the king. But let us sing first. 73, 2, 5, and 6. O Lord, regard me when I cry. In mercy, hear me when I speak. Thou bidst me seek thy face, and I, O Lord, with willing heart reply, thy face, Lord, will I seek. 1, 5 and 6 of Psalter number 73. congregation, Paul writes to Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. Why? He says, do not preach yourself. He says, do not preach your own message. Do not preach someone else's message. No, but preach the word. Why? Because God's people believe the word. They believe the word. They may not believe you, but they do believe the word. By the Spirit of the Lord, they have taken fast hold of that word. That is to them the unadulterated truth. And there is part of that word that people understand. There is part of that word that people they have taken fast hold of. They see it very, very clearly. What is that? That is their wretchedness. That is their misery. But there is another part of that word that they do not understand. And what is that? That is the part that speaks about deliverance. That is the part that speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. Him they cannot see. He's in the word from the beginning to the end. But their eyes are holding that they cannot see him. Not that they cannot understand it with their mind. Not that they cannot believe it for someone else. But they cannot take hold of it for their own heart, for their own soul. And now there comes a time that the bowels of the greater Joseph, they are yearning upon his children that he may reveal himself unto his children. And now in that moment when he will show himself, then he is going to give that grace that hand that they have received from him in that new birth may now take hold of him. Never will that people forget that moment in their life. And why not? Because that is the moment that in the experience of their soul they are given to lay hold on eternal life. Now they may see something they have never seen before. Had they been under that truth for 100 years, they have never seen it before. And it has not to do this day with my neighbor, but it has to do with their own soul. Oh, that is the moment they will cry out, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. How does the Lord do it? By his Spirit. That is not so difficult. In the first place, he uses his word. Oh, they have taken hold of it. That is the truth. And they have taken hold of the first part. That is their wretchedness. Their lost state, that is their misery. But there is in that word an inseparable connection between the experience of misery and the experience of deliverance. An inseparable connection. The Holy Spirit only needs to open the eyes of that people that they may see it. What does he show them? We'll give you one example. Paul says to Romans, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." What? Christ died for the ungodly. That is what they hear. That is what they read. That Christ died for whom? Ungodly. Oh, they know that word. They know that word very well. That word that is an expression of their whole life. That word that is an expression of their entire nature. That word that is an expression of who I am, from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot. Oh, they have taken hold of it with their hands, with that hand of true saving faith. And now, what does that afflicted and poor people? The Lord gives them to see the name of the Lord Jesus Christ written with their own. With their own. Christ died for the ungodly. And congregation, what happens? A whole new world opens in that moment for that people. A whole new world. What world is that? That is the world of grace. In that moment, they see it. A world free and sovereign grace. Never before in their life have they seen it as they see it now. So that the Lord in that moment may give that people, as that little venomous spider, to take hold with their hands. Hand of faith. Christ died for the ungodly. What do they see? They see the hope. The hope which is the foundation of the church of God that is revealed to their soul. And now they begin to see it in the Holy Scriptures. Oh, they cannot believe that before they were so blind, because now the Lord begins to open it. The Christ of the Scriptures from the beginning to the end. And now they begin in Genesis, and they go to Revelation, and then they begin, and they see it already. Chapter 3. Oh, for that sinful Adam. And there comes the Lord. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Oh, then they go further, and they see that ark for that wicked and corrupted people. Oh, then they are given to see it, that people at Mount Sinai, who had served the idol, had bowed down, and the Lord gives that blessed law of ceremonies. And then they see it. Oh, they see him. Oh, they may see him in that altar of burnt offerings. They may see him in that laver for washing. They may see him in the mercy seat. They may see him in the sacrifices, the lambs, the rams. Oh, they may see him in the priesthood. They may see him in that hope. They may see him. Oh, how God is able to live in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation. They may go through the entire scriptures. Oh, they may see him in his covenants and the symbols of that covenant. They may see him in circumcision. They may see him in baptism. They may see him in the Passover, in that Holy Supper. They may see him in the promises of the Lord when he comes to his people. From all thine iniquities will I cleanse you. They may see him in the invitations. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Oh, they see him. They see him in the fulfillment. They see him in his obedience. They see him in his suffering. They see him hanging. They see him bleeding. They hear him praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, what a new Holy Scriptures. When the Lord only will for the first time open that which that people will never forget. And our congregation, so they say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And they may be given, oh, that spider taketh hold with her hands. Oh, she has to believe it now. If she will believe the first part, if she will believe the word of God to be the truth, oh, then she has to believe also the second part. That is what Bunyan is trying to say also. And when that pilgrim is coming up unto that wicked gate, and goodwill does receive him, and may experience the goodwill of the Lord in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we read that he gave him a pull. Oh, what is that pull? That is the influence of the Holy Spirit to give exercise unto that hand of faith, and that hand of faith may receive also now and that second person of that blessed Trinity. Do they now feel converted? Oh, no. Oh, they do not feel converted now. What did that man say? Can you take the burden off my... No, that burden, you will have to wait. But, congregation, they have seen something, a hope. They were without hope. By the law, it came so to an end. Impossible, had to die. And now there is hope. Have I it yet? I don't have it yet. No. But there is a way. And now they see that word different. And you know what they begin to do? They begin to pray different. They begin to pray different. Why? Because they begin to use holy arguments which are effective at the throne of God. What does he begin to do? He begins by faith, by moments, to take hold of that blessed mediator. Timidly, oh, timidly? Yes, timidly, congregation, and yet boldly. Is sin still there? It is still there. Is corruption still there? It is still there. And from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. Oh, and I cannot change it. But do you know what that people have seen? They have seen a way that they can be saved anyway. That they can be saved anyway. Just as they are. When they cannot make themselves one bit better. And you know what they begin to do? Oh, faith. It begins to take hold of this. And then faith, oh, it begins to pray in a different way. It begins to take hold of grace. Or it begins to see that it is without money and without price. It begins to pray as that thief on the cross. Oh, Lord, we indeed justly. We receive the due reward of our deeds. Could he fix it up? Not one bit. He couldn't do anything anymore. He is at the point of death. And yet, Lord, remember me. spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Oh, how do they pray? Like that Syrophoenician woman. You're a dog. Truth, Lord. Truth. And yet, Lord, the dogs eat the crumbs. Oh, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. What do those people do? They do like the publican, smiting upon his breast. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. What do they do? They do as the prodigal. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. But Father, may I just be a servant. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Congregation, are there such little filthy spiders in our midst? Oh, is he not revealed to you? Are your eyes still holding that you cannot see him? Oh, does it become more and more impossible? Hold on. Hold on. Though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely come and not tarry. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. We heard of the eunuch. He was so disappointed. Went to Jerusalem. It was nothing but a disappointment. And then the Lord came. The Lord came. Oh, as a spider, he had taken hold with his hands. But there are some of you who indeed have seen him. Oh, and then you have, the Lord has shown you where to look. And yet you say, I do not have it yet. I don't have yet that burden taken off my back. My sins, they are not yet forgiven. And there is much. There is so much that comes against it. But the Lord has shown you where to look. And then there are moments that he gives you that privilege that you may try to go there. And then the devil, he does like we read about Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus also tried to go. And there was so much that was in the way. And then the people, they said, hold your peace. But no. We read he cried out the more. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Congregation. Oh, how many of us are still without the first knowledge of these matters that you have to say today, I do not even know the very, very beginning. A man never entered in by sloth. A man has never entered into the kingdom of heaven by arguing with the sovereignty of God. Oh, that spider, what does she do? She builds her web, and she waits, and she waits. She cannot grow her food. Everything she receives must be received from God. That is true. If the Lord doesn't give it to her, she receives nothing. Does she then leave off building her web? No. Then she uses the means that God has given to her. And then she is waiting. She is watching. And she is actively watching for something that the Lord may give to her. Ask. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be given unto you. Drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags, but the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. Amen. O Lord, teach us from above. O give to us that new life, because what we give to ourselves will never endure. O grant to us that true saving faith, that from the beginning will begin to strive, and it will never let go, except that thou wouldst bless us. O Lord, bless thy own word. Bring us safely to our places in this day. Give us the desire and ability to be together again in this afternoon hour. Help him that will go before us in the reading service. Bless this also, could it please thee. And wilt thou give to us also the ability to continue further and to do this work. Forgive our many sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 415, stanzas 5 and 6. All the pathways of Jehovah speak of truth and mercies pure unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies sure. And what follows in 5 and 6 of 415. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.